Let's begin. We are Sefer Daniel, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches. Okay, Pasuk Ches. So we have here the story where Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are taken down to Babel at the end of the Malchus of Jehoiakim, 11 years before the Churban, and Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are taken together with a larger group of young men from very talented young men from Eretz Yisrael, and they are being trained for 3 years in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, so that one day they will serve Nebuchadnezzar. Their talents were unique. They had great potential, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to serve in his court, in his palace. And we learned that the Sar HaSarisim, first thing he did was he changed their names to Belteshazzar, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now we come to Pasuk Ches, Vayosem, Daniel, Alibo, Daniel, he set the following matter upon his heart, Asher lo yisko'al b'fas bag hamelech, he would not be defiled by eating the provisions of the king, uviyein mishtav, and drinking the drink of wine from the king. Vayivakesh misar hasarisim, he made a request from the sar hasarisim, from the chief officer, Asher lo yisko'al, that he should not be defiled. Now, I very quickly translate the word yisko'al to mean defiled. Perik Aleph. Pasuk Ches. Yisko'al means to be defiled. Lashon of disgusting. Rashi says lichluch. Lichluch means dirt. Disgust. In the Mitzudos Tzion, he says the same thing. Inyan lichluch. Dirt. Vitinuf. Something which is unclean. Kemelechem migul. Disgusting bread. He felt that eating the non-kosher, this goes back to what we discussed yesterday. What exactly is pasbag? Does it refer to bread? Which means pas akum. Does it refer to provisions from the king's kitchen, which would then mean various dishes which would include non-kosher ingredients or non-kosher meat or even chazer, anything which is not kosher? And by consuming these things, he would defile his neshama. Therefore, he made a decision. He will not allow this to happen. He refused to eat from the food of the king. That's the translation of the word Yisko'al, Lichluch. I saw in, I believe it was Rav Sadia Gaon, he has a beautiful interpretation, and he says that we learn in which parasha is it? I think it's in Parashas Matos. A redeemer, if a person dies, okay, I don't remember the pasuk by heart, but the theme of the parash is, if a person dies, then there's a goyel, a redeemer. Let's take a step back. A person has no choice but to sell his land, so then he has a right to redeem his land within a certain period of time before Yovel. Asteachuza, there are all different types of laws, all different types of property. There are fields in walled cities, homes in walled cities. There are homes in non-walled cities, homes in and fields in non-walled cities. And there are a set of rules of how one can go about redeeming his property. And if he cannot afford to redeem his property, then there are relatives that have first rights to redeem the property. And the positive, im lo yihye goyel, and goes on, let's say there will be no redeemer, there will be no one to come along and redeem his property, then it will ultimately go in certain situations to the Kohanim. When it comes Yovel, Yovel, the land goes back to its original source, and it will go to the Kohanim. All different types of situations. A person is makdish his property to the Beis Hamikdash. He has right to redeem it. If he does not redeem it, then it becomes the Yovel. Then it goes to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim get to keep the land forever. And the term the Torah always used, Vimlo Yihye Goyel, if there will not be a redeemer. And we have the same idea with Boaz and Ruth. When Ruth, she came back, the property that belonged to Machlon and Kilion, and Boaz said, I am not able to marry you, I am not able to redeem your land, because there is someone who is a Goyel, who is closer has a closer relationship to you than I. And we have to first speak to the Goyel, and if the Goyel does not want, then I am next, and I will come along and I will redeem the field, and I will marry you, part of this set of rules. So here, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, with the past, the word Yisqual, of course, the simple interpretation is he does not want to defile his neshama by eating non-kosher food. But on a deeper level, it means, what do Chazal tell us if a person eats pas akum? Why did Chazal institute this takana? One may not eat bread that comes from a non-Jew, because it will lead to intermarriage. And what happens when there's intermarriage? The children follow the mother. And the mother is non-Jewish, then the children are not Jewish. A person cuts himself off from Klal Yisrael, and he will no longer have a goyel, a redeemer, someone to come along and to redeem his property, or for that matter, to redeem his neshama, to carry his legacy, his neshama, in this world after he passes. So here, when he's saying, where Rav Sadia Gaon says a very deep interpretation, Vayosem Danila Libo, he put the following matter, he set the following matter upon his heart, Asher lo yisko'al. He's not going to eat the non-kosher food from Nebuchadnezzar. He's not going to eat the bread that was baked in the home of Nebuchadnezzar, because it's pas akum, or it's not kosher. And what do Chazal say about pas akum? It leads to intermarriage. And when there's intermarriage, the children follow the mother. And the mother, the children are therefore not Jewish. And if there's not Jewish, then I will not have a goyel. So Asher lo yisko'al, he would not allow himself to come to a situation where he would not have a goyel. Very, very interesting interpretation. The pas bagamelech v'yein mishtav, and here we again v'yein mishtav is pulling. I told you yesterday that Chazal, it's, I found it over here, it's a Gemara Avodah Zarah. The reason why it says here b'loshem rabim v'yein mishtav does not say v'yein mishtav. I'll read you the word of the Gemara. V'lama nemar mishtav l'shon rabim ela lilam adenu shebishtei mishtaos hakosov v'dabar. The pasuk is discussing two different types of liquids. Echad mishtei yayin v'echad mishtei shenen. It was an original, an earlier takana that you're not allowed to eat from a goy. You're not allowed to drink from a goy his wine. We know that today. Yayin nesach, wine which has been touched by a non-Jew, wine that's not been cooked, pasteurized. If it's touched by a non-Jew, is forbidden for a Jew to consume because yayin nesach, because of the gzera that they made pour the wine l'shem, or they did pour the wine l'shem avodah zara. And even though b'zman hazeh there is no avodah zara by goyim because the avodah zara is bottle. But still, we have to follow the halacha, because the halacha still remains the same, and the original takana applied to shenen as well. We do not follow this takana in our times because Chazal abolished the takana gzeira shein revat zibur yecholin lamoid ba. But here it is alluded to in this pasuk loshon rabim of mishtab loshon rabim. Okay, now there is, and he made a request from the sar hasarisim asher lo yiskol that he should not. Now there's another very nice drasha, very nice medrash here in the beginning of the Pasaches, which says the word al libo. Let me read you the medrash. I'll read you word for word. Why here, when Daniel realized that he was in dire straits, he would be forced to eat non-kosher food, did he resolve within himself that he would not be nichshol in this sin? And the way it is described in the pasuk is with the words al libo, upon his heart. Would it not have been better for the pasuk to write bilibo, vayosem Doniel bilibo? He set the matter in his heart. It does not say bilibo. It says al libo. So the v'loma nemar al libo v'lo bilibo with the base ela le lam decha to teach you sharishoyim with regard to the wicked. Hein brishus libam. They are not in control. Their minds are not in control of their actions. Their body is not guided by their minds, by the intellect. It's guided by their heart, by their passion, by their desire. Shenemar Omar in Tehillim Navol Bilibo. Navol means a disgusting, despicable person, says Bilibo. Vechenemar, it says Vayomer Esav Bilibo. Vechenemar Vayomer Yeravam Bilibo. Vechenemar Vayomer Haman Bilibo. Here we have a long list of wicked people, and with regard to every single one of them, it always says the same consistent expression, Bilibo. libo.
In the heart,
with the bays. Aval hatzadikim libon birushusam, but by tzadikim the other way around, their hearts are birushusam in their rishus. Kama shnemach v'chanahi medaberes. We just laid this on Rosh Hashanah, the haftar, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. V'chanahi medaberes al libo. V'chein v'yomer David el libo. V'chein emar v'yosem Daniel al libo. So here, this beautiful medrash, Bereishis Rabbah, very standard medrash, quotes, I think, what, 7 examples of some, by Rishon, it's always bilibo, by Tzadikim, it's always al-libo, to teach us that Tzadikim are in control of their actions, whereas Rishonim are not in control of their actions. They are guided by their hearts, by their desires. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Tes. Vayitein hu Elokim estonil chesed ulerachamim lefnei sar hasori sin. There are many parallels between Daniel and Yosef. Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim. He was sold to Potiphar. And he served as a slave by Potiphar. And over time, Potiphar realized that this individual, this slave, Yosef, he's pretty good. He's successful. Ish matzliach. And over time, he gave over to Yosef more and more responsibilities. Same thing happening with Daniel. Everything is ma'isa avos simin labanim. We have a very interesting parallel. Same thing is happening here. What? No, he's not in jail. He's not. Daniel is not in jail. He's being trained. He's being trained against his will. He was taken. He was taken against his will to serve in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's being trained. He does not have here free will. He must do this, otherwise he would be killed. It appears. Let's see. Vayitein Elokim es Daniel lechesed ulrachmim. He gave Hashem. Gave Daniel for kindness ulerachamim, which their words, it's very bekitzer, the pasuk. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had chein in the eyes of his master, and the master chose to bestow upon him kindness and mercy. Lifnei sar hasa risin, he did to some degree want to accommodate his request, but of course the sar hasa risin realized that it was dangerous to make special accommodations for Daniel without the permission of the king Nebuchadnezzar. So what happens? Pasuk yud vayomer sar hasa risin le Daniel. Yorei ani es Adoni Hamelech. I would love to help you, but I am afraid of my boss. My boss is the king, the Nebuchadnezzar. Asher mino es ma'achalchem. He has prepared. Mino, we learned this 2 days ago. Mino here in this context means he himself. Nebuchadnezzar was involved. He decided the diet of Daniel and the men. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't just a king that governed from far. It appears he was a very hands-on king, very much involved in the everyday, every single matter.
Routine.
What?
In the routine
of what will be done. He was involved in the details, and he himself decided the diet for these young men. And he mina esma achalchem v'esmishteichem, and what you should drink. Asher lama, and why? Why did the king decide? Asher lama yire espnechem zoyafim min hayiladim asher kigilchem. Why should it be that your faces, your complexion, your countenance should be zoafim? Now zoafim means normally angry, but in this context it means ra'im. It's a borrowed term. Zoafim means furious, anger. That's not what it means here. It means that you will have a poor complexion. The color of your face will not appear equal to your friends, to your companions. Zoyafim min ha'yiladim. It will be roim. The Mitzudos translates the word zoyafim, roim, evil. V'hu milashon zafekas. Ki akoyes, a person who gets angry, nishtana marispanav l'roya. His appearance gets turns worse, does not have a healthy appearance.
Does that mean because he's eating the kosher food?
No, because he's not eating. We do not yet know what happens at this point in time. But at this point in time, all we learn is Daniel's request, and the Sar Hasari Sim says no. If I give you different food, then you will not look well. You will become ill. And your face will reveal that you're not eating well. and then I will be in trouble because it will be discovered that I am not giving you the proper diet. Now, how does he describe this? Min hayiladim asher kegilchem. This is a very unusual expression. Kegilchem. What does it mean, kegilchem? I just recently saw this. Someone dedicated a sefer in honor of a young Talmud Chacham that was nifter, and they actually used this exact expression, kegilchem. Kegilchem, look at the mitzvah that says, kidmuschem uvedivir rabbeinu zechem levracha ben giloy. It means simply a person of your age. Your contemporary.
From Hebrew, Begil Shlosh Esrei, the age of 13.
The age. Okay, that could be. It's a borrowed expression in that context. Begil. Where did you quote it from? Where did you say from? Begil.
Begil.
Where did you get? Wait, what was the expression you used?
In other words, you want to say someone who's 13 years old.
Yeah.
Begil Shlosh Esrei. The age of 13.
So they use it.
Sheva.
So they use it as the word
age of
the age. Okay.
12.
Because the word gil does not appear. If I'm not mistaken, it does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh.
In modern Hebrew.
Okay, modern Hebrew. So where did modern Hebrew get it from? They got it from. Everything comes from Tanakh. Everything. Or the whole Hebrew language comes from Tanakh. So they got it from here. This, if I'm not mistaken, is the only place in the entire Tanakh where we have this word Kegilchem. Kegilchem literally means mazel. It means a constellation. A person, there are many Gemaras that speak about when a person is born, he's born under a certain constellation. A person has a mazel. Time of day of the week, time of the year. Anyone that's born at that same time, on the same day as you, have the same mazel. Now, when you take them in the broader context, it basically means your contemporaries, the other boys in your class, the other people, your friends who are the same age, who grew up in the same neighborhood, who have the same culture. They're called kigilchem. But again, that's a borrowed expression. Literally, it means to have the same mazel. Gil means a mazel. And the mazel is only true when they're born exactly the same day, the same time, and the same place. So in its strictest translation, it means someone that is exactly like you. But it cannot possibly mean that, because no one is exactly the same. No one's born the same day. It means the same range. It means the same tkufa, the same year, the same, like you talk about the boys in the class. They're all from the same gil. They're all from the same time period. What? Age range. And then modern Hebrew has taken it a step further. It means an age. It's all the same idea. But it all comes from here. And here, this Sar HaSari seems that if I'm going to give you a different diet, then your face, your countenance will not appear healthy, and you will look different than your friends. And the way he refers to his friends is with this expression, Kigilchem. One more time, Asher Loma Yira Es Penechem. Why should Penechem? Now notice it says Beloshon Rabim Penechem, your faces. Doesn't say Ponov. So it appears that Daniel, we have no choice but to assume, even though it's not clear from the past, that Daniel was not making this request only on behalf of himself. He was making this request on behalf of Hananya, Mishael, the Azariah, and perhaps others. There was a large, we learned yesterday that there was a large group of young men that were part of this group. It's just that the only ones that made it to fame, only one that passed all the exams and entered into the highest ranks of government were Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, the Azariah. But it could very well be that there was a much larger group that also wanted to be Moser Nefesh and not to eat the non-kosher food. From the other young men in your same age group, in your same class, in this school, this special school of men being trained for service of the king. You know, it's very interesting. I over Tisha B'Av, I saw a documentary about Hitler's special school. Anyone familiar with this? Hitler, Yimach Shemayim V'Zichro, the Nazis had a special school to train who they felt were talented young men to serve, enroll in high positions in the government. And
West Point.
What?
It's called West Point.
No, this was even more elite than West Point from the documentary. It was extremely competitive to get in, and they trained them in all matters of government. The young boys, talking about teenagers, and they had plans for them. Of course, that these were called Hitler schools. There's a staff. I don't remember all the details, but one thing that was striking was how they would take turns. They had like a class, let's say the class, I don't know, making up numbers, it was 25 kids in the class. For one day, one of them would serve as the dictator. And everyone in the class had to salute. Like one of the boys in the class was acting as if he himself was Hitler for a whole day, a whole tkufa. And everyone in the class had to give him kavod, honor and serve him and treat him as the dictator. And the purpose of doing so was that the ones that had this should have a taste of honor, of what it feels like to be honored, to other people should serve him, and that would whet his appetite to go forward and be a dictator and control parts of the government and to control parts of the world, to have a thirst for power. It's a very frightening approach to some of the things that they did in these schools to develop
indoctrination.
But it was for yechidim, unique individuals, and it's very interesting. That's exactly real. Certainly, that's exactly this type of school. I mean, I don't know the details, but there is some similarity in what's going on here. They were yeladim, specially trained groups of people, young men that were taken to serve in the palace. And they had a special diet. Everything was custom made for them. And the Sar HaSarisim said, "If you don't succeed, then that reflects poorly on me, and I will suffer as a consequence." Lama yira esmechem zoefim min hayladim asher kigilchem v'chi yavtem esrei shil ha-melech. And then my head will be given over to the king. I'll be chayev misa. They will cut off my head. Pasuk yud aleph. Vayomer Daniel el ha-meltzar. Daniel said to the Meltzar. The Meltzar, what's the Meltzar? Today in modern English, in modern Hebrew, we translate it as the waiter. The waiter. Is that what it means in Tanakh? Look at the mitzvahs. Ha-mesader ha-machol. I guess so. The mesader ha-machol. L'Rashi, ha-soyder es ha-monos v'yes ha-ka-oro shakarin. I don't know what the word is. The one that is in charge, I guess it's a... For some reason, it appears... I don't have any raya. I have to look into this more. That the Meltzar in Sefer Daniel had a lot more power than the Meltzar in a made. Okay, maybe it appears it was a cabinet position. It wasn't just you go to a restaurant and you got and they pay him minimum below minimum wage, and they hope that he'll be happy with the tips if he'll even get a tip.
It
appears that there is some greater authority here in the Meltzar. What?
Is this comparable to Paro's
Sar? Oh, see, it doesn't say the word Meltzar in Torah. It says it's in Torah. The word Meltzar does not appear in Chumash.
No, but is it comparable to
Sar? It doesn't say. It doesn't, I guess, I don't know. I don't know the answer. See, here, we have here in these Pesukim, it's called the Sar HaSarisim. And then there is the Meltzar. So there are, the Meltzar is the in-between, the person that is in-between the Sar HaSarisim and the Meltzar. The Sar HaSarisim is the top authority. He's at the top of the hierarchy. And then beneath him is the Meltzar, who actually brings the food to Daniel. Let's see. Vayomer Daniel el ha-Meltzar. So Daniel saw that he was not succeeding. He went to the top, the Sar HaSarisim, and the Sar HaSarisim told him no. So the next best thing was to bribe the servant, the waiter who brought the food from the Sar HaSarisim to Daniel. Vayomer Daniel el ha-Meltzar, to the waiter, Asher mina Sar HaSarisim al Daniel, whom the Sar HaSarisim appointed, designated to serve Daniel. Al Daniel and Hananya Mishol Vazariah, Nas no es avodecho yomim asara, test us. Do not force us to eat the non-kosher food. Test us for 10 days. Let us eat a kosher diet. And if our complexion, our countenance is different than our the other students in this class, then we will eat the non-kosher food. But maybe we will look the same, and then there will be no need to serve us the non-kosher food. Nasno, please test es avodecha yamim asara v'yidnu lanu min hazei roim seeds. Okay, it's not clear what type of seeds, type of kidios. V'noichla, we will eat umayim v'nishte, and water, and give us water. Give us seeds and we will eat them. And give us water. Do not give us non-kosher wine. Do not give us oil. Umayim v'nishte, and give us water. V'nishte, and we will drink the water. V'yeyra'u l'fanecha mar'eyu. We will appear, we will show us, we will present ourselves before you. You can look at us and see what we look at, our appearance. Umarei ha'yeladim o'echlim espas ba'ak ha'melech. We'll have a beauty competition. We'll come together with the other yeladim who are eating the non-kosher food, the provisions of the melech. V'chasher tireh. And you will then make a decision. And if you will take note that our appearance is zoyafin min ha'yeladim, it's worse than the other students, then asay im avdech v'chasher tireh, what you see fit, asay im avdech, you can do with us when the 10 days are over. Now, why did he ask for a test of 10 days? What is the significance of 10 days? So this is perfect for the 10 days that we're holding right now. Kneged yaseres yimei tshuva. Let me read over here. There are a few interpretations. One, let me read you the Medrash. I'm going to read part of the Medrash. I have to read the entire Medrash. I'm reading here from the Medrash in the Tanchuma. Parashas Vayera. Nasna es avadecha yom masara. V'idu lanu min hazei ro'im. V'noichla umayim v'nishte. V'yeirohu lufnecha mar eyu marei halodim ha'yuchum es pas magamelach. V'asher teira asei mavdecha omalohem. V'yatem b'nei hamalachim. I'm reading from the Medrash. Yichol ma'atem lisnas es yom masara b'loy lechem v'yayin. So they said, can you really survive 10 days? Amrulo hein yes. We can survive 10 days. Kevon sh'anu mibnei bonav shel oisai tzadik. Avraham Avinu, that's why this medrash is in the Tanchum and Parshas Vayera, the Akedah. Shenisnasa ba'asara nisyonais. Avraham was tested with 10 tests. Shema zuchuso ta'amod lanu. The zchus of Avraham, who was tested 10 times, may his zchus serve as a merit for us, and we will survive 10 days. So it's very interesting that a day corresponds to a test. What's the significance? I do not know, but that's what it says in the Medrash. Heim loy kvar motzo esenu ha-melech esse yodos. Okay, that part. Okay, fine. So that's one medish. That's another medish which is not here. I don't have it in front of me. That says it corresponds to the 10 days of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The 10 days starting with Rosh Hashanah, concluding with Yom Kippur. Those are 10 days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu examines us. He tests us to see if we can do tshuva for the previous year, and we can have some New Year resolutions for the coming year. And based upon what happens during those 10 days, our fate is determined for the following year. So we have a precedent. Just like Hashem, He tests every individual for 10 days a year, the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so too, test us for 10 days, let us eat a kosher diet, and let's see what happens. So this is what he demanded. Does Rashi make any mention of this? That Aseres Yimei Tshuva? No, he does not. And let's see the Mitzudos. If he says number 10. Okay, let's go further in the Pesukim. So this is what the request was. Vayishma Pasuk Yudalit. Vayishma lohem ladavor hazeh. Vayinaseim yomim asara. So the Meltzar was accepted this their request. Vayishma lohem ladavor hazeh. Vayinaseim yomim asara. Test them for 10 days. Pasuk Tesvav. Umiktsas yomim asara. Nira, and at the end, Umiksas here means Umiksas Yamim Asara, and at the end, like the word could say, Pasik Tezvav in the Mitsudos. Umiktsas yamim asara, at the end of 10 days, nira mar ehem tov uvri evasar, and at the end of 10 days, their appearance appeared to be good, uvri evasar, and healthy. Uvri evasar means fat. They appeared to be fat. Min kol hayiladim ha'ichlim is pas bagmelach. They appeared better. Their appearance was better than their companions. Pasik tes zayin vayi hamelzar noisay is pas bagom v'yein mishtehem v'noisim lohem zeir onim. Now this tells us the answer to the big mystery. Why in the world would the Meltzar agree to this, to their request? What did the Meltzar have to gain? We can understand the Sar HaSari Sim, he had nothing to gain. That's why he said, nothing doing. I'm not going to take any risk. Because if something goes wrong, who's going to be responsible? Me. I'm going to be executed. So the same thing should have applied to the Meltzar, to the waiter. So why was he willing to take this risk and allow Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah not eat from the Paspak? The answer is because who got their food? He got their food, and this was expensive stuff. This wasn't cheap food. So he took the food for himself. That was part of the deal. Give us seeds. You go to the store and you buy sesame seeds for a dollar for a bag, and you take the meat and the tafshil, the delicious food which is worth hundreds of dollars, and the expensive wine. You bring it home, enjoy with your family. You have good food. It was a great deal. It was worth it for the Meltzar to take the risk. Vayia Meltzar no say he would carry away espas bagam, their provisions, the yein mishtehem, and their drink, the noisein lohem zei reonim, and would provide them with seeds instead. Pasuk yitzayin, the hayladim ha'ile arbatam, these four young men, nosan lohem ulukim mado v'haskel. Now we go further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chokhmah is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was another foolish thing that the Babylonians, the Kastim, thought. They thought that chokhmah comes, that they are the balabatim over chokhmah. That if they'll train these young men in ways of chokhmah, they will succeed. The chokhmah did not come from Nebuchadnezzar and his school. The chokhmah came as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk makes that clear. Nosan lohem hu Elokim. It was Hashem who gave them Mado v'Haskel. Two different expressions of understanding. The difference between these words is a very big mystery. This is always discussed. You say in davening, Choneinu mitcha de'abina v'Haskel. There are so many interpretations. The difference between all different types of expressions of wisdom, but it means different types of wisdom. The chol sefer, the chokhmah, and every type of sefer and wisdom. The Daniel hevin, the chol chozoin v'chaloymos. But Daniel excelled. He was even greater than the other three. He understood visions and dreams, which is a big mystery. What this means, because we are not familiar with the chokhmah of visions. We don't even know what a vision is. And what does it mean, a dream? Two different expressions, a chazoin and a chaloim. What is the difference between these two? We do not know. But Daniel did succeed. And why did Daniel? Because he was Moiser Nefesh. He took the lead. Because he took the lead over Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah to make this request from the Sar HaSari Simon, from the Meltzar, and he risked his life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him extra Siyat D'Shmaya. He excelled over his Chavir when he had the Chochmah of Chazoin and Chalamayis. Okay, let's go further. The Pasuk Yud Ches, Ulamiksas Hayamim, Asher Amar HaMelech L'Haviyam, and at the end of the days, which the Melech said, at the end of the days, the end of the 3 years, when the king, the deadline came for these men to be presented in the court of the king, and now the Sar HaSaritzim presented these young men when their training was complete before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. So here, who was presented for the Nebuchadnezzar? The entire class, the entire group, the entire graduating class was presented, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke with all of the young men, and none of them came near the level of Chochmah. None of them made an impression upon the Nebuchadnezzar as like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Vayidabri Tam HaMelech V'lenimtzu Mikulam K'Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Vayamdu Vayel Lefnei HaMelech, and they stood before the king. Pasukof V'chol Devar Chochmah Sbina, in every matter of wisdom and understanding, Ashabikesh Mehem HaMelech Vayimtzoeim Eser Yodos. So here comes the Mida Keneged Mida 10 times. This is what the Metzilas quoted a few moments ago. He found, the Nebuchadnezzar found, that they were 10 times better than their companions. Eser Yodos Al Kol HaKartumim Cho Ashafim Asher B'chol Malchuso. Now what are these things? What are the Khartumim? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, HaKartumim Eile She'alei B'timei Mason, the Atzamos Mason, Kamod at Omar, Sechik Atzamos Sechik Tamaya. So, Hachartumim are people, I don't know how to translate these words, but it means people that communicate with the dead. And the next word, Hoa Shofim, Elu Shedoichakim Bimazel. People who have the ability to play around with the constellations. They push around the constellations. Two different types of sources of Tuma. One, to deal with the dead, and by dealing, communicating with the dead, you have a power to accomplish things that under normal circumstances could not be accomplished. And then there's a koyach to play around with the mazolois. So that's what the Ashofim, the Chatumim, Ashabuchom Malchuso, Doniel, and Hananiah Mishael Azariah did not need to come on to these Koiches Atumma of the dead and the Mazolos. They had Chochmah that was given to them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says in the previous pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim, put in their minds Mada, understanding, and Chochmah. And therefore, their Chochmah was 10 times greater than the Koiches Atumma of the Chartumim and the Ashofim, Asher B'chom Al-Husso. Vahid Doniel, and Daniel was, means in this context, the many psukim are written in a very short form. It means he served. Daniel served in the palace ad until Shnas Achas L'Choyresh HaMelech, the first year of Choyresh the Melech. Choyresh is the Persian king. Here we're dealing with the Babylonian king. And question over here is, who is this Koresh? If we're referring to, so the Raj, there are two interpretations. And this depends on a very important medrash in the Megillah. We know that there is a medrash that says that Vayavo Hasoch. Who is Hasoch? According to some, Hasoch was Doniel. The Daniel from Sefer Daniel over here. And Asach means to decide, to cut. He decided all matters in the king's court by Achashverosh. How did he get there? He outlived Nebuchadnezzar. And Koresh, the Persian king, the Persians, the Medians, Modai, Uparas, conquered Bavel. We know that Bavel fell to Modai, and then the Malchus was very quickly transferred to Paras, and Achashverosh was one of the Persian kings, and Daniel served without question in his court. The question was, what happened to him? So according to one Medrash, Haman murdered Daniel. When Haman saw that Daniel was relaying messages to Esther in the name of Mordechai, Haman's arch enemy, Haman took it upon himself to murder Daniel. Others say no, that's not what happened. Daniel survived and he lived all the way to the to a later period in time. So I don't know how in front of me there's a chart in that sefer that I had last week. I don't have it in front of me here, but let's at least read the Rashi just to point out this last point before we conclude. Daniel served. Let's look at the last Rashi, pasuk chaf aleph in Rashi. Daniel, the gedula. Daniel served in greatness and authority. It's a mikra chaser. You have to add the word gedula into the pasuk. The bavel achnas achas lekoresh hamelach. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains. Ledivrei ha'omer hasoch. When it says in the Megillah Hasach, who is Hasach? Zed Doniel. The Lomanik was Shmo Hasach. Why was he called Hasach? Shechot Chuhu Migdulasa. So I told you another interpretation. Rashi here says the Ikar interpretation that he was cut down from his greatness. He was cut down. What do you mean he was cut down? Either means he was killed, well, means that he was demoted. He was demoted. This refers to the first Koresh before there was more than one Koresh. Just like we have Paro, the leader of Egypt is automatically called Paro regardless of his name. He takes on the name Paro. Likewise, the leader of the Persians were called Koresh. Their name was changed to, that's a title in the United States. Well, it's called the president.
Czar.
The name is changed for to the Tassel. There's more than one Koresh. So if you learn that, so here it says in this post that Vayelo Hasach. Hasach means he was demoted. He was demoted means he was not serving Ligudul. He was not serving in greatness. So then when it says here in the post that he served until the first year of Koresh, it means the first Koresh that came before Achashverosh. But according to the other interpretation, when it says Hasach, Hasach refers to Daniel, and Daniel was serving in the position of authority. He was serving in Gedula, and he's called Hasach because he cut. To cut means he made the decisions. So he is here in a state of greatness. Then Noimar, Koresh Zehu Daryovesh Hasheni. This the second, Daryovesh the second, Achar Achashverosh, who served, some learned he was Esther's son, who served Achar Achashverosh, Uvimei Daryovesh HaModi, Sheshlichu Lugoyev Aros, who was the first Daryovesh HaModi, he was from a different country, from Modai. Paras Umada, they were two different countries which had an alliance. Dayavish Hamadi, Sheshlichu Lagoiv Arayos, Loyar Migdulasoi, and we learn later on in the Sefer that he was thrown into a den of lions by our Dayavish Hamadi. He did not lose his job. Just because he was thrown into the lion's den, he came out alive, he retained his position of authority. Shenemar Vidanil Dona. Hatzlach the Malchus Dayavish. This Daniel succeeded in the Malchus of Dayavish, the Malchus Koresh Parsa, and the Malchus of Koresh the Persian. Lamadnu Shebimei Koresh Arishon Nachoyi BeGedula. He was still in a state of Gedula during the time of the first Koresh. So the question then is: we have over here more than one Koresh. There was a Koresh that came before Achashverosh, and there was a Koresh Daryovish the second was also called Koresh. The question is: when it says here that Daniel, in the end of this end of Perek Aleph, it says Vayi Daniel Achnas Achas LeKoresh HaMelech. Which Koresh are we referring to? Are we referring to the Koresh that came before Achashverosh, or are we referring to the Koresh that came after Achashverosh, Daryovesh Hasheni? So there are two interpretations, and those two interpretations depend on the word of Vayavo Hasoch. Is Hasoch mean that he was no longer in a position of authority? He was cut down. And then obviously he was not serving. That means he only served. This pasuk must be translated to mean that he served to the first Koresh. But if you translate Hasach to mean Kol Divrei Hamalchus Nechtochen Al Piv, that means he did continue to serve in authority during the time of the first Koresh, and he was even serving in authority during Achashverosh. So then, whose Koresh that we are referring to? The next one that was called Koresh by that name Koresh was Daryovesh Hasheni, which we'll come across this a little bit later on. We'll come to this later on. I'll bring in some charts, and we'll see these two different. Just we Anis, we should remember now there's more than one Koresh, and Anin he lived all the way until Daryavesh Hasheni. And it also means the very important point I want to make, we should remember that means he was not killed by Haman. Haman did not actually murder Daniel, because according to the more popular version, that Haman did indeed, I think even Rashi quotes it, I think Rashi in the Megillah quotes that Haman did kill, murder Haman. Haman did kill Daniel. And that's a very great tragedy. And we really allude to this in the Kinos, okay, the Kalir, in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, Kino Chof Ches, is a kin about the Dalid Malchios. One of the things that's expressed, that's brought out there, is that he had Shlita Haman over the Ish Hamudos. Who is the Ish Hamudos? We say this in Slichos now. Daniel Ish Hamudos. Which, if you learn the interpretation of the Kina Chof Ches, it would appear that the author of the Kina was following the Medrash that is of the opinion that Haman did indeed murder Daniel during the time of the Purim miracle. And that's a very interesting idea, that on Tisha B'Av we mourn for the miracles. What do we mourn for the miracles? We're mourning for miracles? Yeah, because the miracles came at a great price, at a very great price. We have a great miracle of Purim, wonderful. But what was the price? Daniel was murdered. We have the miracle of Hanukkah. What was the price? Chana, the Sheva, and her seven children. There was a war, Gibor Biad Chaloshim, but even though it was Chaloshim Biad Gibor, but even though there were casualties, they were victims. I once heard an argument. This is a controversial statement. I'm arguing that how can you say Halal on Yom Atzmaut? I'm not getting involved in this at all. But do you know how many people killed in the war? Do you know how many people lost their lives? They lost their lives in fighting for Eretz Yisrael. You can't say Halal. Go look at the Kriyas Yamsuf. Look at we don't say, Klal Yisrael did not say Shira. The Malachim wanted to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem said no. Ma'ase Yodai Tovu Bayom V'Atem Oimrim Shira. Hashem did not allow the Malachim to sing Shira because the Egyptians, the wicked Egyptians, were killed. So certainly, when our own Achenu Bnei Yisrael were murdered, were killed in battle, how can we sing Shira for Eretz Yisrael? It's not a kasha. That's not a kasha. Because if you want to ask that kasha, you say, what about Purim? Purim and Hanukkah. Do you know how many people died in the miracle of Hanukkah? In the miracle of Purim, Daniel died. Daniel was from the greatest of the great. And he died. He was murdered, according to our interpretation. Yet, we celebrate Purim. We celebrate Hanukkah. We also mourn for the loss of Daniel. We also mourn for the loss of the victims of the Hanukkah miracle when? On Tisha B'Av. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to celebrate, to give Shevach v'Hoidah. So that is not that doesn't make any sense. The argument doesn't hold water. What?
It's nebulous.
Right, don't. I'm not getting involved in the, it's a very, obviously, very controversial topic. But that's not an argument. And that really has to be, it's rooted in this pasuk here. When you deal with that issue of Daniel, you have to always come back to this pasuk, the last pasuk of Perek Aleph, Ayihi, Daniel, Atshnas, Achas, L'choresh HaMelech. You cannot ignore this pasuk when you focus on what happened to Daniel during the time of the Purim miracle. Let's stop.